Thank you for tuning in to Rochester Speaks. I'm Ray G, here with Dan Bellavia, who is the landscape manager at George Eastman Museum, and we're going to talk about the Dutch Connection today. Dan, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you for joining me. I think we are all ready for a little bit of spring right now, which is what the Dutch Connection is all about. So let's first talk about the history of this event.
Sure. This show is based on how George Eastman used to have his house during the wintertime. Back in 1895, he took a bicycle tour of Holland, and at that point, tulips weren't all that available in the U.S., and he went over and he saw all the fields that were there, and he wrote a letter back to his mother while he was on the trip telling her all about it. So he wanted to bring some back to start planting into the gardens he had at the house before the mansion was built. Then in 1903, when the mansion was finished, he started ordering bulbs at about 30,000 to 40,000 a year to plant out into the gardens and to put into his greenhouse so he could bring them in the winter months to beautify the house. So we found that, and in 1995, we decided we would start bringing a little bit of Eastman back into the house and to bring that Dutch connection that he had into the house. So now we have this yearly display. This year will be the 27th year that we've done it. And each year it gets a little bit bigger, a little more variety. It's a lot of fun to come see it. But that's where that history comes from. Is he actually loved tulips.
Wow. Okay. And you said this event officially started in 1995.
Correct. Yeah.
How long does it take to plan an event like this?
It is actually a year-round endeavor. There is very little throughout the year, even while I'm taking care of the grounds, that I'm not doing something with Dutch Connection. Give you an idea, our bulbs, my catalogs come in and our bulbs need to be ordered at the end of June. Between June and September, we're cleaning up pots, we're getting things ready to put together. In September, my bulbs come. In September, we start planting them. My volunteers come in and help us plant them. Then they go into the root cellar at Highland Park. And they sit there and we pretend that it's wintertime for them. And then starting at the end of December, we start bringing them out into the greenhouse in stages to make sure everything's going to bloom at the same time. And then the show comes. Now, after the show is done, it takes about 2 weeks to take it all down. Then on the rainy days from then on, my volunteers are in here washing pots, cleaning things up, and preparing for the next show. So it is truly a year-round endeavor for us to do this.
It sounds like a huge commitment, but well worth it.
Yes.
It grows a little bit each year. So from 1995 to now, you know, what's the difference?
Well, in 1995, they started with 250 pots and basically had just some tulips, some daffodils, and some hyacinths. Roughly about 1,000 to 1,500 bulbs that they ordered for that show. This year, I have 2,400 pots on display. I ordered 16,000 bulbs for the show.
Wow.
I've also added in different types of spring flowers that you would see, primulas, some of the early irises, begonias, and we've brought a couple of newer plants in. We now do paper whites, which is another type of bulb. We've brought in a clivia, which is similar to an amaryllis. We have lots of amaryllises into it. So I've added new textures, new varieties of tulips and daffodils and things, and some other new plants to give you a better idea of how the spring would look.
That is amazing. It sounds like you were just super knowledgeable about all of this.
Yep. I had to become knowledgeable as I've learned throughout. I've done this for 17 years. And when I first came in, I hadn't messed with a lot with tulips and daffodils. I do have degrees in horticulture, but it's not something that was really high up on it. So we've learned, and I've been able to learn as I go along, what flowers work, what flowers don't. Can I count on the tulips blooming at the time I need them to? And that's some of the tricky things we have to play with, because when we put the show on, we want the daffodils, the tulips, and the hyacinths to be blooming all at the same time. But they don't bloom at the same time. Some take 8 weeks to put a flower out, some take six, some take 2 weeks. So we have to balance all that as it goes into the greenhouse to make sure everything's timed perfectly so when we put the show on, everything is in bloom.
So you said that you've been doing this for 17 years.
Yes.
You have a degree in horticulture.
Yes.
What got you into wanting to do that, and what personal changes have you made since starting this position from 17 years ago to now?
Well, what got me into it is out of high school, I got to take a horticulture class in 10th grade in Greece, Arcadia. and it really got me interested into plants. And it was all house plants back then, and I really was interested in it. And I started on a degree in plant genetics in 1980. And as it went on, I realized that for the passion of what I really wanted to do, I was going to have a doctorate degree. And that was more farther than I wanted to go as an 18-year-old kid.
Sure.
So I stopped. I did 2 years of that, and I stopped. And then I went about my business and started doing work and other things. I was doing computers and all sorts of different work. And had a family, had kids. And when I was about 40 years old, I went, I don't like what I'm doing anymore. So I went back to school to get my horticulture degree, to finish my biology degree. And since then, it's been, I found the passion I really should have been doing my whole life, and I found it here. I got lucky with coming into the Eastman House, finding a job pretty quickly, and now I am in charge of all the grounds. I'm in charge of this show every year. It's really became a passion of mine.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
So let's talk about COVID. I know, the big bad COVID.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been going on for a couple years now. How has COVID changed how this event runs?
Well, it's been 2 years. We had just finished the 2020 show at the end of February, and 14 days later, everything shut down. My job did not shut down because I take care of a historic landscape. I was considered a necessary worker, but I lost all of my volunteers.
Right.
I couldn't have them come in. So all summer, we were working on making sure that the grounds were getting taken care of as best as possible and preparing for the hope that we would have a show in 2021. I was able to get my volunteers. They were allowed me to bring them back because we work outside. It was a safer place for us to do it. And we started planning for Dutch Connection. Because I have to start in June, it wasn't a can we wait and see how COVID goes. We either plan now or we don't do it at all. And the decision was to do it. So we started putting the show together, and we started looking at how could we make it safely be done. Originally, the show would be pretty much wall-to-wall inside of the conservatory. You would walk in and see just the whole room filled with flowers. So I devised a way where we could actually do it into two aisles inside of the conservatory. So I had daffodils on one side and the yellows in one side, and then I had all the tulips on another. So we turned it into a one-way path to try and eliminate crowding, make sure people were socially distancing, and everybody was able to wear a mask and be able to come in. And we actually had quite a successful show in 2021. Did some, for what I considered, we ended up having over 4,000 people come in.
Wow.
In the middle of the panic of COVID, had lots of people that were willing to come in. We were safely distancing. At that point, we were limiting the amount of people that could be in the building because we could only have 25% of the people allowed in the building. So we limited how many people came through.
And it was still a great turnout.
Yeah, it actually did well. We actually broke every sales record that has ever been done for the plants that I sell that year. And the only thing I could attribute it to was everybody who was coming in knew of somebody who couldn't and wanted to bring a bit of that Dutch connection and some spring back to them at their house. So it was fantastic. So
I think that really just speaks to the event itself, what you just said right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Is this year's event going to look similar to last year's, COVID-wise, or we have a little bit looser restrictions?
The restrictions are a little bit looser. We're still monitoring to make sure we don't end up with 20 people in a 5-foot space. You do have to wear masks. We do require masks for the people to come in. I did set it up with that two-aisle walkway again to try and keep people moving through. Not that we want to push them along, but to make it safer to have more people in viewing the show at the same time. We still have sales going on. We sell all the time throughout the show. I always, you know, tell people, take a bit of George Eastman's Dutch Connection home. It brightens up the house. And we're starting to see that people are starting to come out more this year. We're just definitely seeing attendance picking up. We haven't gotten to the point where we have to limit people coming in. We're hoping we don't hit that spot.
Sure.
Because I want to keep everybody safe. My big concern is my volunteers that come help. They're in the house helping me with watering, with setting up, with trading, deadheading, doing my sales. So I've made it very safe for them where most of them are in before the museum's open. And those that are in there for sales, you know, I've got all the protective stuff I need, plastic in front of them, good masks, hand sanitizer all over. So we've definitely taken the precautions to make sure everybody is safe as they come in, but we still are under the bit of that COVID restriction.
Sure, but it does sound like you guys are doing everything you can do and that you really care about the well-being of your employees, which is so important.
Without my volunteers, we're in trouble. My staff consists of me and my assistant gardener to take care of the 11 acres in this show.
Wow.
I have about 100 volunteers that step forward every year. Average is about 700 hours of time they put in just for when the show is going on. And in a year, they put in anywhere from 5 to 6,000 hours total on the grounds, pulling weeds, doing whatever has to be done to make sure the gardens are going. So they are my biggest asset, and the biggest concern that I have is to make sure they all keep coming back. Now, of course, during COVID or at this time, there's a few of them that said they don't feel safe coming into the building, and I understand that. I understand people's reluctance to be put into that position, but I've had most of them step forward and say, Dan, we're willing to come in for a three-hour shot and give you the hand to make sure this show goes off.
If anyone that was listening right now wanted to volunteer for this with you, how would they go about that?
There's a couple of different ways they can do it. They can either go onto our website. There is a spot on our website for them to volunteer. It does redirect them to somewhere else. They can contact me directly at the George Eastman Museum by calling the museum and asking for the landscape department. I encourage people, if they come into the show, I have applications there. I have my cards available. I'm willing to tell everybody all about my volunteers. They get some great benefits. First of all, I have 16,000 bulbs on display this year. We don't have time to plant 16,000 bulbs, and I don't like to throw them away. So we keep about 3,000 bulbs to put out on the property every year to expand our displays. And then the rest of them go home with my volunteers. So they get to have part of that Dutch connection year after year after year in their own gardens.
And you said earlier that people visiting the Dutch Connection can buy flowers there as well.
Yes, ma'am. I have both bulbs that we have put in place at the beginning when we were planting for Dutch Connection for sale. So I have a few of the varieties that I have in display that I do have available to take home. I can't plant all of them for sale, because this year, for instance, I have 25 different varieties of tulips.
Whoa.
So I pick three of the ones that I know are the wow tulips that I have that people want. And I have a different selection of daffodils and hyacinths that are there. I also have a lot of those spring flowers that I bring in that are also available for people to purchase and take home.
I have to come check this out. I don't know if you know this, but I'm pretty new to Rochester still. And so I have not seen this yet, and I have to come check this out.
Absolutely. Please come by. We're open Tuesday through Sunday from 10 in the morning till 5 in the evening. Sundays are 11 to 5, but I encourage everyone to come see this. I've run into people that have lived in the city their whole life, and they've never come. And I get them to come one time, and I see them year after year after year.
And what are the dates of the Dutch Connection?
The Dutch Connection will run from today until the 6th of March. Our advertising had gone out early this year, and because of the rage of the newest variant, we decided to push the first week off and start it later, so I added a week on to the end.
Perfect.
But it is until the 6th of March.
That's awesome. And do you need to purchase tickets in advance?
They do ask that you do, because it makes the people coming into the museum, it makes that line flow a little faster. So if you can, you can go to our website, eastman.org, and you can purchase tickets right there. If it's something you ended up doing on the whim and just happened to show up, the admissions desk is open and you can purchase them there. But we prefer that people purchase them ahead of time.
Kind of get a head count.
You get a head count, and it makes it so that we don't have huge lines at the front, because you walk in with your ticket. We actually have a reader right there. You walk up, you flash your ticket, because it'll be on your phone or a piece of paper, and you walk right in. You don't have to stand in line and wait for people who are purchasing tickets.
Oh, perfect. Okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah, I got to come check this out. This sounds just absolutely mesmerizing.
Absolutely. If you do come, find me. Find my assistant. We're in very noticeable green shirts, usually around the sales table, or we're up in the museum talking to people. I am a big one on educating, so I answer everybody's question. I help them with selecting plants or deciding what they're looking at. We have charts out in every room that tell you what flowers you're looking at. And what's nice about this show is it's changing daily. As you come in, You may see it one day, come in on a Tuesday, and if you were to come in on Thursday, you'd see things changing all the way through. Some of the tulips are getting more mature. I have tulips that actually come up one color, but by the time they're mature, they're a completely different color.
Oh, cool.
So you can come in daily and actually watch the show progress. I have tulips that aren't up yet that are coming in throughout the week that we're placing into the show. So the show's in fluctuation at all times, having new products coming in. The early daffodils are starting to fade. I'm bringing some of the later daffodils in that have different colors in them, or the later tulips that may have some different textures. I have parrot tulips that are about 2 days away that are going to start blooming that nobody saw in the first week. If you keep coming, you're going to see it. It's nice. I have members that come in, and they're lucky people. They work nearby, and every lunchtime, they come walking through the show just to see it, because then they can see those changes day to day, and I see them day to day. Every time I go in, I see something different that has opened or that is starting to change those colors. It's just great to watch it happen every day.
Sounds like quite the experience.
Yes.
The free Just for Kids bulb kit. Now, this is in place of your guys' planting activity you used to have, which I think is a great idea. What do you think are the benefits of kids learning how to garden?
Well, one of the things I push it for is that I want kids to understand gardening and to be outside and understand how nature works, whether it's with vegetables, it's perennials, or bulbs, and the idea that you can trick nature into doing some things that you would like it to do. Tulips naturally bloom in May, April, May, and June. We get them to bloom in February, so we can show them how we trick them to do it. It gets them to take a bulb home. When we did it as an on-site one, it was great to watch the kids learn how to pot up a plant. But they take it home and they get to watch it actually grow and see the flower come to full size. For the hyacinths, they get to smell it. Then they get to take that bulb and they get to plant it in their own garden. And now we've added some interest that they might be outside helping mom and dad garden and maybe learning a little more of it. I'm trying to plan for those future gardeners and perhaps those future volunteers that will help the next crew that runs the gardens here or someplace else be interested in beautifying their neighborhood at some of the local community gardens that are around. Get that kind of idea into the kids' heads early, and I hear great things from the parents that say this is a wonderful project. The kids love to watch it grow and to see it and know it's their flower.
Yeah.
And they put it in the garden, they can go out and say, that's my hyacinth every year, and watch that spread around and actually propagate itself. So
that is truly, truly special.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything else that you would like to add today, Dan?
Other than I want people to remember that without the help of the volunteers, none of this show would happen. It wouldn't be possible for the two of us, myself and my assistant, to do it. And that you should consider, if you come by, become a volunteer. Find out what the benefits are and find out how much fun we have. I have a couple of easy rules for my volunteers. Number one is come here and have fun. And we do. There's a lot of laughing. There's a lot of socializing that's done. And number two is it's impossible for you to make a mistake when you're working here. If you pull out a wrong plant, I notice it. We find the plant, we replace it. I have a nursery full of plants that can be replaced. You can learn some great things about gardening. As I said, I'm big on educating people. You got a problem with your gardens at home? Let me know. We'll talk it through. Send me a picture. We'll figure out what the problems are. We'll help you with designing your gardens. So being a volunteer at the George Eastman Museum has some great benefits that you won't see by, you know, not that I'm talking to people and not volunteering places, but the benefits you get here if you're a gardener are phenomenal. We really try to make sure you come back.
It truly sounds like it. And it sounds like you're just doing some great work.
We try to do the best that we can. There's no doubt.
Well, there you go. Thank you so much, Dan, landscape manager of the George Eastman Museum and in charge of the Dutch Connection. I'm Ray G. This is Rochester Speaks. Thank you so much.